This is the part of the show where I would normally introduce the show and give people some idea of what they're about to hear, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you all do that.
Oh.
I'll give you some ideas. It doesn't have to be accurate, you know, could be way off. That's fine. We'll just change it up just because why not?
Okay.
All right. So here's one approach. Could be something like, "Good morning, Detroit. This is Air Hockey Nation. All the new techniques to get you gliding past the competition. Air hockey talk all day, every day." Okay, so one way to go. And then one more, just to give you ideas, could be something like, "You love to eat it. You love to eat it as often as you can. But it takes time to cook. When that happens, you can listen to the Chicken Soufflé podcast. Today's show is about the elusive crispy golden crust." Okay, so something like that.
I don't know if we can come up with anything that amazing really right good. On the spot. That's, let's think.
I don't know.
You could just say, "Welcome to the Encevides podcast. And what are we doing here exactly? Like, how did we get on this show? What's going on?
Where am I?" Bodied voice floating in space. Hang on one second. We're just gonna put our heads together real quick.
Is it? I don't think it's working.
Welcome to a recording of our public meltdown.
Yeah.
We're all melting down together, ladies and gentlemen. It's very exciting. This is the Encevides podcast. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, well, Molly Green is someone who's done a couple things. She was a casting assistant on Thor. She's also made some music videos, some web videos, various bits of comedy. And speaking of which, Molly and James both co-directed their first feature for Ev, and that was a delightful romantic comedy that I got to see at the New Orleans Film Festival this year. It was the jury award finalist, in fact. So that's Molly. Molly, tell us a little bit about James.
James Leffler is a dandy and a man about town. He is 6'4" and he wears only suspenders and purple clothing. That's all he wears.
He's quite a wardrobe.
Professional beekeeper as well.
I see.
So those are facts about James.
Well, in regards to the purple and the suspenders, are there ever exceptions? Like, if it's a special holiday, can you say, "I will allow red into the color palette, but only because it's Easter or something," or that doesn't work at all?
Sometimes I'll do orange for Halloween.
I see. Okay. Good to know.
But only on Halloween during trick-or-treating hours.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you all both for joining us today. So I have to say, I was a little envious of one aspect of the short resume that I read. It seems like so many filmmakers these days can say that their films are online. Some can even say they got a nice premiere at a fancy festival. But how many filmmakers can say that their work can be seen at Nordstrom's across the nation? Not many, but I understand that you two can say that, right?
Yeah, you're getting right to it.
Okay, great.
Into the dirt. Yeah. Well, we made a music video, how long ago?
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, three,
something, 4 years ago.
Three
maybe.
Or 4 years? I don't know. It was a while back for a musician named Lilia Broussard, who's actually originally from Louisiana. And I don't know how it happened. I mean, they never told us like the mechanics of it, but they were like, "Just so you guys know, this video is playing in store in all Nordstrom's right now."
And I think also like Aeropostale.
Oh, yeah. How do you say that?
Aeropostale?
I don't know the name. That
we are never
I
cool.
think I know it. I've walked past that place in the mall.
Yeah exactly. I have a little cousin who shops there.
Some of the comments on YouTube are like, "I heard this. I saw this video at American Eagle."
So there you go. So basically any store at the mall might be showing it.
At any given time without warning.
Yeah, I think there's some company that specializes in placing music videos in stores. And for whatever reason, they picked that one up. So we like to feature that in our bio.
Yeah, which makes sense because we bought a lot of sweaters right after that video.
Yeah.
It was just something about it made us really need some cashmere.
We went on a sweater.
There you go.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's how your video ends up in Nordstrom. You just put it in somebody's hands and they handle it for you, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I would love to be able to tell people, you want to see my video? All right. Set your watch, 3:45 p.m. any given day where there are Nordstrom's. It's the television between housewares and cosmetics, right? That would be the best way ever, I think, to tell people, check out my video.
That is great. Yeah. If you want to see it, you're going to have to work for it. And also you might buy a nice perfume. Yeah.
Well, speaking of perfumes, I was trying to find out more about you, Molly, and I was searching the web. I stumbled upon a video and I thought, okay, this might be her. I'm not sure. I had only a small photo to work with because you don't have a photo on IMDb. So I was just looking at that little inset photo. And then it wasn't until I saw the spider in the jar, I said, you know, she looks mildly familiar. Yes. So nicely done on your mildly familiar fragrance. Very amusing.
That's actually the same. Yeah, it's for Lily Broussard, the same musician that we were in Nordstrom with. We did like probably 30 videos for her.
Yeah,
and
I think that one was a shot by shot remake of a Britney Spears ad. Right?
Yeah, it's there's a Britney Spears commercial where she did a fragrance, and we basically went through and just every single cut, it like lined them up, and it's the same exact commercial except.
Very nice.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the story behind that.
So was it the two of you doing the masterful puppet work in the video Calypso? Little finger puppet action.
Oh yeah, wait, what's
that?
Oh,
was that's you and
yeah, that's me and my sister actually. It was when I was home in Louisiana one time. The flight basically landed as a tropical storm was about to hit. Mm. So I planned this great weekend, like hanging out with my family, and I get there and this was like two summers ago, and there was no possibility of going outside. Like once I got there, it was like have to rush and get to the house because it's about to get rough. And so we were trapped inside all weekend, and my sister and I just started listening to Harry Belafonte, and then that happened.
it seemed like it was actually very well choreographed. I mean, it takes some effort to get little finger puppets to move around like that, I would imagine.
Well, thank you. That was the first and only take, but...
So you're like, I'm born with it. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, you can hear me cracking up because I didn't know what she was about to do each time. And she always... My sister's really funny. She lives in New Orleans and she does comedy at the New Movement. And she is a trip. And I guess I should plug her. If people are listening and they are fans of comedy in New Orleans, she's on a team called Dean's List and they're really funny. So check them out. Yeah,
I'll have to make a trip down to look for them at some point.
Yeah.
She's formerly DJ Tanner of the LSU radio station.
That's true. Yeah, she's had many, many names and many projects.
So, Molly, talk a little bit about doing some casting assisting work. Does that help you form stronger relationships with actors that you then bring into your projects or not so much?
Yeah, totally. I started out in casting because someone told me that if I had to do an internship in entertainment, that I would get the most free food from working in a casting office.
Smart.
Yeah, I figured I was a college student and I wanted as much free food as possible. Turns out it's just mostly, it's like 90% cupcakes. So you can't really make your meals out of that. But it was great. And I would recommend it for anybody who wants to direct because you're sitting in a room with professional, amazing, often actors all day and watching them try things and you give them adjustments and see what happens. And so it was 2 years just sort of learning how to talk to actors, learning how to work with actors. And I did meet actors through that job that I still know and work with. I mean, two of the actors in Forever, people from my casting days, Amanda, who plays Jess, the younger sister. Amanda was someone who'd really jumped out and our casting director for Forever sort of had seen her in a session. She worked with me and she was like, you got to see this girl. And we did an audition for another thing and became friends with Amanda. And then, Dominic, who plays Julian, I also met that way. And Pedro, who plays the bartender named Pedro, also from casting. But yeah, I mean, you know, people sort of jump out at you and you remember their names and you're like, I got to work with this person later. So yeah, it was great. It was a really good job to have.
The casting did seem like a particular strength of Forever, so it seems like it paid off.
Yeah, it was nice to know what we wanted for every role. I mean, almost every role we wrote with someone in mind. So there wasn't a whole lot of casting, but it was sort of, I think, pre-cast in our brains. I don't know. Once you sit in a casting office all day, you play all these games about like who you would cast in your own movie in your head.
Who did people say should play you?
Randy told me Maura Tierney once, which I think is accurate, but she's a lot older than I am. So I got a little offended by that. But then I told Randy that I would cast Idina Menzel as her, and she got really angry about that too. And then people would always say Jenna Fisher for me.
Who would play me? Like Bill Nye?
Who would play you? I don't know. Hayden Christensen or something.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what you look like, Nick, or I'd cast you too. But.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Like, well, we'll get you in. Come on, buddy. Come on.
So just send me a photo.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
So James, what kind of experiences did you have before you got to direct projects?
Well, Molly and I both went to film school together at the University of Texas. And my sort of day job, once I moved to LA, was I was working for a producer at Warner Brothers. And so that was really helpful in terms of just really getting to know my way around screenplay structure, just like reading a script a day or sometimes more added up and kind of seeing how that studio side of things worked was really interesting.
It seems like those backgrounds nicely complemented each other.
Yeah, we like to think so. Yeah. So you can't see it. James is doing a little like a cute little dance gesture right now.
Ah, very nice. So you guys are actually doing a little tango even as we speak.
Yeah, you can't hear it, but it's definitely like.
Yeah.
You all are truly professional to pull that off.
The silent tango.
I noticed that you all have made a couple of shorts together where you all appear in them. And I imagine that you also co-directed those as well.
Yeah. Are you talking about the French films?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In particular, Unz, where you both stare at the ceiling. And I was thinking, all right, so I wonder if that was the intro film for Forev, because the characters in Forev stare at the ceiling at the beginning as well. So was that a way that you all pitched your investors?
We know that staring at the ceiling works.
We want the ceiling and, you know, magic. So what do you think?
That's an interesting catch. I think it's just because we both tend to, like, when... Well, I know I do.
No, I do it too.
You do too.
I'm in the fetal position when I do it. It's just lie on the ground.
Just lie on the ground when we get like upset about things. Just like flat on the ground and stare at the ceiling. So I think that's where that comes from. But the French film thing, I think there are like little fragments of that in Forev, like that style, like just a single shot where like something funny happens, or yeah, just sort of like a sort of quick visual gag. Or like a quick punchline like that. But yeah, we came up with this idea of 15-second French films because we thought French films were so awesome / hilarious.
Ripe for comedy, certainly.
Yeah, exactly. So we just had this idea that like, what if we spent an afternoon doing that? And we tried to teach ourselves to smoke cigarettes and I got a bronchial infection from it.
Oh no.
So never again.
If you look at those, it's pretty clear that we don't know how to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't notice, but I'm not exactly the cigarette smoking expert.
Yeah, your voice is real smooth. Well,
thank you. Thank you. Well, congratulations to you both for your feature film. For you, Molly, it was your first feature. Is it also your first feature, James?
It is, yeah. Yeah, well, we directed music videos mostly together. It was most of the stuff we did together, and then those French films before this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things where we were just like, what's preventing us from making a feature, you know? And we kind of were realizing at a certain point, nothing, you know, because you can make a feature for pretty cheap if you cut corners and sort of plan around it. So yeah, we had this moment where we were like, let's do this. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, we wanted to do it while we were dumb enough to try.
Yeah, and right off the bat, you got a very solid reception at the New Orleans Film Fest, and I would imagine elsewhere as well.
Yeah, so far it's been good. We've gotten 2 audience awards so far, so people seem to like it, I guess. It's been good. We, I guess, are going to do a couple more festivals and then let it fly out onto the internet and VOD and all that on its own. So we'll see how the audience changes, if people like it more or less when they're watching it in their houses. Yeah, it's a different watching experience, I guess. So I'm a little nervous about it, but hopefully it'll still hold up.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll hold up. So have people treated you all differently now that you all have your feature comedy under the belt? When you all go to the parties and you tell people, yeah, we made a romantic comedy, do they look at you differently?
I would say it depends on the party, but yeah. There are some parties that I feel like I would have gone to like a year ago, and no one would have wanted to talk to me. And now people actually are like, oh, hi.
Well, I think the weirdest thing is I'm now like working multiple jobs. I don't like if someone says, what do you do? I can't really say like, oh, like I'm an assistant to a producer. So I have to say, you know, I'm a director. And then it's not sort of like, oh, they're like, no, that's bullshit. It's the reaction. Yeah, and I have to kind of like, no, but like, I guess I kind of am.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. I mean, nothing has changed, I guess, on our end as far as what we were doing. If we had made this movie and no one had seen it, we would still be doing exactly the same stuff we're doing. But, you know, it's cool that people have seen it and cool that, you know, people want to talk about it, which is nice.
You know, when I tell people at parties that I made a short comedy or two, they usually look me up and down with wry apprehension, usually the ladies, right? It's almost like they're waiting for me to confess, like, okay, it wasn't really a short comedy. It was a PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. I put in the dancing mouse graphic that the guys at Human Resources really like, okay? So it's tough, but you know, yeah, you do what you can.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It is hard to sort of explain to someone what you do just
if they haven't already.
Yeah, if they haven't seen it or heard of it. Yeah. Because you either sound like a total asshole or you sound like a total loser.
But I feel like you might sound like a total asshole if they had heard of it. I was talking to this guy at like a wedding a week or so ago, and he was, you know, we go, oh, what do you, you know, what's your deal? And he was like, I'm in a band. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, what's the name of your band? And he was like, Real Big Fish.
Uh-huh. Nice.
So I think he even felt like he was kind of a fraud.
Yeah.
That's a very legit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even I have heard of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not even on the, in the Los Angeles hipster scene. So there you go.
They're a real big band.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. So back to the film, it was a refreshing discovery. It felt so different from some of the other romantic comedies that I've seen. So talk a little bit about some of your influences.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, influence number one, is, I would say, aside from even movie influences, it we wanted to make a movie that felt super real to us and, you know, was still funny and still a romantic comedy and hit all the beats, but didn't feel forced or fake. And so I guess influence number one, just sort of that idea and the idea of keeping in real life, but influence
and everything
two,
that the actors brought to it.
Yeah. Our actors definitely contributed a bunch to the dialogue and just the structure of the story and the general arc of everything.
And yeah, Matt and Noelle had done a lot of stuff together before. So their relationship really informed, you know, how those characters work.
The movie influences Bottle Rocket, big one. What else? Hannah Takes the Stairs. We had all the actors watch Hannah Takes the Stairs.
So they knew that it was okay if they didn't enunciate ever?
Yeah, mm-hmm. you can just like stare at somebody and not say anything.
Yeah. We talked about Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
Really? That's one influence I would not have guessed, but I suppose there is a road trip on that one.
Actually, I did a Q&A last week in Minneapolis, and the moderator was like, open it up by being like, it's cool that this is like a road comedy, but it's not like Dumb and Dumber. And I was like,
like, actually, sir, it is.
We really wanted it to be like Dumb and Dumber.
We looked at Like Crazy, I think. When we were talking about how we would shoot it.
Yeah.
And watched a bunch of Vincent Haycock videos.
Oh, yeah. Vincent Haycock's music videos definitely were a big one on the look. And then, Pieces of April.
Oh, yeah.
Also great. Also something I saw at the New Orleans Film Festival when I was like a teenager. Sorry, I saw that. Yeah. First film festival I ever went to, I saw Pieces of April, which is great. And also starring Louisiana native Patricia Clarkson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Got her an Academy Award nomination.
Oh, and her nephew actually had a feature in the festival this year.
Really?
Yeah. Matt Galsfeld.
Huh.
Father Like Son.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize.
Oh, I missed that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny. I mean, I'll plug his movie real quick. It's about basically a guy whose mom marries someone who's 24 and really wants to be his daddy. So it's called Father Like Son.
Okay. Interesting setup. Well, I was really glad to see that it did have that realism, your film, that is. It was essentially two people connecting on a road trip that doesn't quite go as planned, and that felt very real as opposed to some of the romantic comedies where it's like, well, you know, you're gonna either you make the romance work or your entire company falls apart. This is a confession moment. I do watch The Bachelor on occasion just to get some ideas for the preposterous dates where it's like, well, first we're going to parachute down the Andes Mountains, and then I will read a poem by the ice sculpture that I have created for you. And when it melts, we shall hang glide to, you know, but on one hand, it's that's fun. That's the fantasy, but it's not necessarily how real people connect and form relationships. And so it was nice to see you all show a movie that is very much about that. I mean, it's about as opposite of meet cute as you can get when your two characters first see each other in the film, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome to hear you say that it felt really realistic because, you know, the setup is not realistic, that it's two people that decide that they're going to get married on a whim. Although since it's been screening, we've had a couple people say that they have done that in real life to us. But yeah, the goal just to keep it like really close to our personal experiences and our actors' personal experiences as possible. And some of the things that happened were things that our actors told us had happened to them in real life, and it went into the script. So yeah, that was the goal, just to make it feel like maybe slightly heightened real life, because heightened for drama and comedy purposes, but to not stick out that way.
I have to tell you, my expectations were quite different going in. I think in part it was because of the image that you all used to promote it, or at least the festival did, of the guy flicking off one of the girls in the back. And I was like, okay, this is going to be one of those kind of jaded indie sort of things. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that prior to that, the film I had seen was fairly abrasive. So when the hot dog gag came up, I was like, oh no, okay, here we go. And I was expecting it to go, I don't know, more sexual in a disturbing indie kind of way. So thank you for not going that way.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I want to sexually disturb you.
We are like, someday Nick's going to see this.
I appreciate it. That's yeah. Thoughtful. But it did have that sweetness to it. I mean, there was comedy there, but it felt like it had sincerity and heart. And that was the driving force. And that was really, again, refreshing. It was something that made me more eager to be at the festival, as opposed to some of the other films where it's like, oh, how interesting. Another abrasive indie film that's driven entirely by shock value. How unexpected and artsy or whatever.
Yeah, we were worried that festivals wouldn't respond to our movie so much because there's nothing super edgy or gimmicky about it. And I think a lot of times those are the movies that grab a lot of attention as something that's, you know, doing something new, but maybe doing it in like sort of a harsh, brash way. And there's
noisy
way. And there's nothing wrong with it. But we were worried that we would sort of get lost in the shuffle. And so we were really happy that there have been some festivals that have, you know, seen it and liked it and taken a chance on it. And I think it paid off for them. I hope it did. But yeah, I mean, we just wanted to make something that felt really super genuine. And it's awesome to hear that that came through.
Yeah, it's really great to hear you pick up on the sincerity aspect of it, because that was one of the things that we were hoping would come across, just the idea of how hard it is sometimes to be sincere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I like that. And on a personal note, it was nice to see that the guy was doing tech support. And that he actually, well, he at least has a shot at the girl. And I say that as someone who has done tech support. It's nice to see those guys, the guys that aren't always treated well by society, to get some consideration. So you all have a special place in my heart right by Slumdog Millionaire. So there you go.
That was Matt's idea.
Yeah. We were like, what is this guy's job? And he was like, well, it's...
Just the idea that he tries to make friends with everyone he talks to.
Yeah.
He has a really hard time with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we have the part in there where she looks at him and she says, you're a real catch. And, you know, she tells him that she considers him to be like worthy of a girl liking him. And I think it, you know, it shocks Pete, that character. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like
Molly exclusively dates guys in tech support.
Yeah.
You should say
Well, there you go.
I buy it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think from the perspective of Sophie, the girl character, like, he would seem like a real catch. Yeah. Nothing against guys in tech support.
Yeah, we're good. Hardworking guys and often Americans, not necessarily in India, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right. Just had to get that public service announcement out. Okay. So what a great job your cast did. And is her name Noelle Wells? Is that how you say it?
That's it. That's, yeah, Noelle.
I thought she was terrific. I found out that she's going on the Saturday Night Live cast, right?
She is. She'll be on tonight. She'd tried for it before we shot the movie and came really close. And then we shot the movie and she didn't try that year. And then this year she tried again and got it. And I don't know, I would say unsurprising in a lot of ways, because she's that talented and she's that great. And, you know, I think we sort of knew that she had it in her to do it. But she's done 3 episodes so far. And I guess, yeah, tonight will be her 4th, so we'll see how it goes. But she's been doing really well.
Well, that's neat. I'll have to watch tonight for her.
Yeah. I guess last week she had a sketch that got cut at the last minute.
Oh.
I was really bummed out. So maybe they'll pay her back and put her, like, prominently on tonight, hopefully.
Did you have to get her to dial back? Was it that she was doing lots of jokes and she said, no, let's not do that? Because I think sometimes when you have the comedian types, you have to have them pull it back just a little bit when they're doing dramatic roles. Or was that not an issue?
It's an interesting question, because I think Matt and Noelle both really come from strong comedy backgrounds. And I think when we started this, they were both a little worried about, would they be able to handle this style?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we knew that they could, they just had never done it before. And so there was a little bit of trying to get them to just find the right tone.
And it was finding the tone, I think, with them during rehearsals and while we were writing it.
Yeah. So there's definitely, like, some moments of them sort of feeling out how to do this style of acting, as opposed to being on stage at UCB and doing a sketch, you know, which is what they normally would be doing. So it was like a little bit of an adjustment for them. But I think, I mean, they both, once we found it, we found it. And they both did a great job. Yeah.
And it was also really nice to just kind of know in the back of our minds that these guys are so funny and so much funnier than us that if ever we wanted to do a take where we're just like, all right, let's just, like, bring it up just, like, a notch. Uh-huh. Or just, like, we need something, another joke to work in this scene. They could just find a way to make it happen. Well, there's a part where, like, Noelle, like, steps in a kiddie pool, and we had in this script, like, you know, everyone who read it was like, yeah, I don't understand this kiddie pool thing, right? Just trust us.
She'll make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so good at physical comedy. And that was nice to write with them too, because we sort of knew, like, you know, what their comedic strengths are. So you'll see there's a ton of physical comedy for Noelle. Wherever it was reasonable, Noelle was doing physical comedy in there. And Matt's better, I think, with dialogue. So we would try and get Matt, like, that sort of stuttery dialogue that he just nails every time. So it was nice to be able to, like, tailor it to them. And I think it made it funnier that we were able to, like, see, oh, these are their strengths. Let's make sure this character is doing that. But yeah, always got to work in, like, Noelle, like, dancing or eating something.
Yeah. And again, the hot dog gag was terrific.
Well, you know, that's actually a fully true story. That was Noelle's first audition in L.A. It was, like, verbatim.
Really? That. Wow.
I think she came over right after and was like, you're not going to believe this audition. And we were like, well, that's going to go in the movie. But in real life, at the end of the scene, after she spat out the hot dog and was done with her audition, she looked at the casting director and said, well, that was degrading. And the casting director sort of sheepishly was like, well, I've been watching it all day. How do you think I feel?
And I was also amused at the end when that gag reemerges, how serious the filmmakers are involved when they're observing. And that was really amusing, because I could imagine people being quite like that.
I mean, I don't know. We just wanted to make fun of directors being assholes.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny.
Oh,
let's not give away that gag, because that's a good part. But the hot dog gag, quite amusing.
Yeah, it always gets a big reaction, like an audible, like, aw.
You mentioned rehearsal. How long did y'all rehearse?
We started with an outline and improv scenes with them and wrote the script from there. So that was kind of like a pre-rehearsal. And then once we had our script, I think it was like a rehearsal every week for, what, two 2.5 months or something, Molly, before we shot?
Yeah, something like that. We did a lot of rehearsal. We felt like we were stealing, look, we were not, I'm not supposed to say that. We were borrowing locations. And we were sort of worried that there would be a lot of pressure on set to just, you know, knock a scene out. And so we felt like the way to work around that was to just get everything just completely rehearsed beforehand. And that came too from some of the work that we had done with that musician, Lilia Broussard, that we were telling you about, where she would basically, we would go to these crazy places and she would just play a song acoustic, and she's amazing and she's well rehearsed and she has played these songs a million times. And we started to realize how nice that is to be able to just go have the camera and have something play out in front of you. So we decided we were going to super, super highly rehearse it. And so it is. But, you know, I think we rehearsed everything months before we shot it.
Right.
So there was a freshness.
Yeah. So they wouldn't be like, oh, well, I'll just do it exactly how I did it before.
Yeah. There's none of that. But yeah, we did. Everything was very like down to the beat.
We'd rehearse it till we thought it was almost there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which was something we stole from Drake Doremus from Like Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I saw something where he talked about with Like Crazy how they rehearsed and how he would have them rehearse it until it was like he wanted to do it once more, but then he would not. Right. He would say, like, keep that for going to a set. So that's
a really smart approach. So yeah. Based on that, I'm guessing you all did a lot of shooting with available light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, with all the big exteriors, there wasn't much of an option there. We would have like some silks or some bounce boards maybe, but you know,
but we wrote the exteriors in because we wanted to use available light.
Yeah, we knew we didn't want to have like a whole, you know, once you bring in a whole lighting setup, it just leads to thing upon thing upon thing that you need, and you know, we want to keep
some
the spirit
of those things
of, like,
are more credit cards.
Yeah,
that would be another thing.
Yeah, it would have been really expensive, and then it wouldn't have just been like our group of friends, you know. So yeah, that was the idea, was shoot somewhere where you can't really do a whole lot and it's gonna look great no matter what.
But our DP was really good about making sure we were shooting whenever possible in the right direction at the right time when the sun was in a good place in the sky.
Oh yeah, he had some sort of crazy app. I don't know what it was called, but it would, you know, like a sun tracker type thing. And we scout out pretty much all of our locations in relation to the sun.
Sure.
He would be like, you know, we have to shoot this shot at exactly 4:30.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we couldn't follow that to the letter all the time, but there are a few shots in it. Well, we'll be like, you know, his name's Rob Edgecombe. We'll be like, you know, Rob, that shot turned out really nice. And he'll say, no, it's because you shot it when I told you.
Yeah. So listen to your DP and his app.
Yeah, it did look cinematic. I'll give you all that. I mean, from what you're all mentioning, it sounds like it was not the biggest budget of shoots, but it still looked and felt very much like a feature film. So nicely done.
Thank you.
All right, two more questions. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts and so on.
Yeah.
So, okay, the real reason that I brought you here, not because I'm interested in the film, I just want your tips. How can I make my relationships work? You guys have made a romantic comedy, so now you've got to know these things. What are your thoughts?
Oh, man. I mean, if we're in keeping with the movie, I would say be honest and be genuine. You know, I think that's where a lot of relationships fail, is when people start to like act differently around each other and aren't upfront with each other. So yeah, I would say that that's probably the lesson to take away from Forev. But personal lessons, I don't know. What do you think, James?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on, you're not gonna.
See, this is your chance to offer one-on-one consultation for a low fee of like, you know, $299 an hour or something. We can make your life like the movies for a small fee.
Well, Nick, give us some specifics here.
Like, what are you going through?
Oh, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it's complicated. I won't trouble you all with when I get to the point where I finally open up, which takes me a while. That's when it seems like it falls apart in the worst possible way. And then I react badly and, you know, in theory might end up calling someone or comparing her to Lady Macbeth, which may not be the way to go in retrospect, but, you know.
Sounds like she deserved that.
it's a work in progress, I suppose.
Mm.
All right. Well,
that's a- to ponder that. Let's after we stop recording, we'll give you
some. Oh, stuff. good. Yeah. And I would be, you know, if you send me a brochure that itemizes what the consultation would involve, maybe I'll sign up. I'll save some Christmas money or something.
No. We'll get our tarot cards ready.
Yes. Yeah. You know, any help would be appreciated. Divinations that you get, or dreams, or something that would be nice. Nice to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. Let's say your ideal collaborator is listening to the show. What would you want him or her to know to get the best results out of you two?
Who's our ideal collaborator? Is it Owen Wilson?
Owen, if you're listening, the best results out of us. Well, I mean, I think that we do like to be really collaborative. And so like, to like share their ideas, and we want to hear everyone's ideas, and we want to hear if our ideas are bad ideas.
I think the key to a really good collaboration is to spend a lot of time together and to like each other as friends.
Yeah.
You know? I think something that, you know, that works well for us, and something that worked well with our actors too, was that we were all friends first. And so we were able to sit down and work together and be like, oh, hey, remember that time when such and such happened? Let's work that in. And you have like a pool of shared experiences.
Yeah.
So yeah, if Owen Wilson's listening, let's hang out. We love you. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll try to pass the word along to Owen and let him know. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time to share your perspectives. I really enjoyed chatting with you all. If people wanted to learn more about you all or about the film, where would they go? What sites should they look up?
Well, they should hit up forevmovie.com. That's forevmovie.com. Also, they can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/forevmovie. And that's where we're going to post information about when the movie is available online, where it will be.
And where we're playing festivals.
Yeah. And then also Forev Movie on Twitter and Forev on Tumblr. People are like super into social media, and we post little fun things on both of those. But yeah, keep an eye out. Hopefully you will see us either at a festival or on your TV or on your laptop before too long.
Or like with Owen Wilson at a
at like his beach house gala or something. That would be cool. I hope it works out.
I know. That's
yeah,
true.
I hope McConaughey is there.
Yeah.
It's not a party unless McConaughey is there, from what I hear.
Playing the bongos. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll put those details in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining us, and you all have a pleasant weekend or whatever's left of it.
Yeah. Thanks so much. This was real fun.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye. And if you need that love life advice,
I might take you up on that. We'll see. All right. Well, that's our show. I hope you enjoyed it. I had fun talking to Molly and James. We did cover all kinds of ground, but I think that's good. I think that's what happens when you get to know people. And clearly Molly and James are good friends and they enjoy working together. And not just that, but they got to make a film with a whole group of friends. That's probably the ideal way to do it. It's not going to get any better than that, to be honest. They talked a little bit about catering their story to the strengths of their actors. Again, that's the kind of thing that happens when you spend time with people, when you get to know them, what they're about, instead of saying, hey, we're going to make this thing, we're going to do it just because we need to get the sale or because we want to get the award, whatever it is. It comes from a different place and it makes such a difference. I'm grateful too that Molly and James were both great sports. They played along. I wasn't sure how it would go, to be honest. I thought they might not want to talk to me, but they did. They brought me into their world, at least for a little bit, and that was kind of fun. I might even take Molly up on her request for a photo. In fact, there's one on the webpage. So Molly, if you're listening, take a look. I'm a little curious about your casting ideas, although I get nervous sometimes from those kind of suggestions. So tread carefully. You know, going back and listening to some of that, I gotta admit, they got a little more out of me than I normally share. I was kidding around a little bit, but relationships are tough for me. And it does take me a while to open up. And that relationship that I hinted at, well, it was more like a non-existent relationship, to be more precise, was a big sore point in my life for a while. Even when I had the conversation with Molly and James. It was the kind of thing that made it harder for me to connect to others, to take risks, to be honest and vulnerable to others. Now, it's been almost a month since I've heard from that girl. I've done my best to keep her out of my life and mind. And you know, honestly, my life has been better. What does this have to do with the movie Forever, with the conversation I had with the directors, you might ask? Well, for one thing, it came up in our conversation. They could have let it go as just a joke, but Molly tried to get some more info out of me. So here's the info, I suppose. It's not just that, though. A big part of why I'm interested in films and stories and other artistic forms of expression. On my more optimistic days, I like to hope that art, if it's honest, can lead to better realities and or better relationships. And that's how I felt after watching Forever and other movies like that. So the real life part of it is a big part of the equation, at least for me. On that note, I don't know why exactly. Maybe part of this is listening to this podcast, editing it, puts ideas in my head, you know? But I did end up kind of sort of asking out another girl. So we'll see how it goes. I guess for good or for ill, I will hold the film Forever and my conversation with its directors responsible. So if it goes badly, I might never watch another romantic comedy again, because this is what happens. They put ideas into your head, they set you up for failure, and it's tragic. Instead, I will spend the time reading technical manuals and maybe polishing up PowerPoint presentations. I'm kidding around again. It's what I do. It's how I deal with things that are emotionally challenging, perhaps. It would be nice if it works out. She's a great girl. The first day I met her, I chose not to ask for her number because I thought, why ruin or potentially ruin a nice moment? I did give her my card, and I gave her a vague business kind of reason why she might contact me, just in case she did want to contact me. And, you know, she did. And we've had a kind of sort of friendly interaction. I don't know why. This is terrible. Yeah, I've went back and forth a bit about whether to include this or not. It feels like I should, for whatever reason. I don't know. Usually that's trouble. Usually things go very badly when I have a sense that I should do something, but I'm doing it. Why not? The way I see it, if she doesn't show up to that thing I asked her to attend, I probably won't see her around. And in that case, she probably won't hear this. She's probably not going to be seeking it out. I'm not going to tell her about it directly. I guess if she's undecided and she's looking for a reason to give me the benefit of the doubt, I figure maybe she might hear this and realize this kind of thing is tough for me, but I do mean well, and I'm trying to be honest and so on, and I hope she will consider. All right, well, that's enough of that. Anyway, I really did enjoy Forever. I do recommend it. Look for it when it comes out near you. We'll have the links in the show notes, as I mentioned. I suppose I might still on occasion watch a well-made romantic comedy or two, even if this is a sad time. But, you know, let's not focus on the negative. Coming up is Thanksgiving. There's so much to be grateful for. I am grateful to you for listening. we've had a lot of neat opportunities with this podcast, and that's been possible a large part because of you and your support. So thank you so much. If you appreciate the show, would you take a moment to go to iTunes and leave us a comment or subscribe? That does help others find the show, connect with us, and we do appreciate it. It's encouraging to get that kind of feedback. So thank you. If it's something that's of value, if you want to do that, I would appreciate it. We also have our link on the site for additional ways that you can support the show. These are ways that are a little unconventional, not the kind of suggestions you might encounter every day. So go check it out if you're so inclined. Speaking of the site, if you go and visit, you will see a special Thanksgiving greeting specifically selected for you by Molly Green. She wanted to share a little something special for you this Thanksgiving. So got to go to the site to see it. Well, that is about it. I do want to thank Rob Coslow once again for providing our music with his song, True Gemini. Until next time, let's make our future collaborations be better collaborations. One last thing before we go. Molly and James, I'm not sure if you saw Saturday Night Live. That night we had our conversation, but they did a little video. It was the trailer for what a Wes Anderson horror film might look like. They called it the Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders, and it was pretty amusing. Guess who was the very first actor they impersonated on that segment? That's right. The elusive but all-talented Owen Wilson. I don't know what that means, but it's Thanksgiving, so let's take it as a sign that good things are ahead, at least for Molly and James. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone.